And welcome to a special Sabbath edition of the HalfGuarded.com Power Hour. I'm your host, Mitch Pump, co-host Dan, the Seventh-day Adventist Ford.
Have you ever run into those people?
I think I went to school with one. They don't do anything on Saturday, right?
Yeah, we've got a Seventh-day Adventist church near in this area.
Yeah.
They are, I guess the best way to say it is like people who think that you will get extra points in heaven by just being miserable your whole life. That's a very 1800s, and most of these like weird, goofy, offshoot Christianity cults started in the 1800s, which is like, well, what God really wants us to do is to have literally zero fun.
Yeah.
Our entire lives, and then we'll get extra special heaven points.
You always get Saturdays off from work.
Well, that's because of labor unions, not because of...
Well, no, but I don't get Saturday. I have to work Saturdays.
Because you work in a bar.
I was a Seventh-day Adventist who worked in a bar, I couldn't work Saturdays.
The Seventh-day Adventist wouldn't work in a bar, so there you go.
They work at Kmart.
Kmart didn't exist yet, sir.
Sears. Belk's.
Sears, I think, was around.
What was the old Belk slogan that they discovered on the Fool? It's like the cheapest store anywhere.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Yeah. We're recording this Saturday before the national championship game. This should drop, what, Monday?
We'll try to have this up immediately.
Yeah. But let's talk some bowls, because bowl season is behind us now, Dan.
Let's talk.
We have one game left. Who do we start with from the New Year's? You want to start with UCF, LSU?
Yeah, let's go with that.
If you're a UCF fan, you suck, your school sucks, and your whole life was wasted. Now, turn off the podcast, because we're going to talk good about UCF.
So, as a non-SEC fan, what I'll say is I thought Central Florida played their ass off for a team that had its backup quarterback, and... was playing LSU team.
They played great against an LSU team that was playing a wide receiver at DB.
Well, that was because of stupidity, but part of that, I mean, anybody who's going to tell me that LSU didn't want to win that game is full of shit.
No,
LSU was actively coaching that thing, trying to get a blowout.
Yeah.
They were going for things in situations where you would have probably punted or been a little bit more conservative. They were going all out trying to prove that this team didn't belong on the field.
And I think any bowl game you should go for the blowout.
But LSU clearly wanted to beat Central Florida by a lot, and they didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a lot closer game than...
Yeah. Well, is it closer, though, if LSU has their DBs?
Well, I mean, it's not like their DBs didn't decide to play. I mean, one of them was injured.
Well, they didn't have their best. Williams didn't play.
One of them didn't play, but one of them got hurt, and one of them got himself kicked out of the game, throwing a punch at a guy with a helmet on, which is always the stupidest thing in the world. So, it's not like they came into that game and they had no players and nobody cared.
Yeah.
They wanted to win that game by a lot.
Yeah. I think with that game, though, you kind of knew it was over. The second half until the end.
Well, the third quarter, it was an even game in three quarters. It's just LSU beat the piss out of them in the third.
Yeah. And I switched over to Penn State, Kentucky. I'd like to talk about that really quick. Kentucky. I mean, how was this a lucky thing? Or is this class just really good?
I think
Stoops a really good coach.
I think Mark Stoops has slowly built a thing at Kentucky, and it was like everything came together. I'm not sure they'll be able to follow up on this, but this was definitely a magical year for them, a great year. And James Franklin's just not the kind of coach you want coaching your team in a big game, because he just seems to tighten up. Like, he just seems to, you can't even fit a feather up there, as the Oakland Raiders once said about Dick Vermeil. Like, you can just, like, he just does goofy shit at the end of ball games. I don't know. He's a great coach. He builds a great program. Like, you can tell at Penn State, he's built a thing that, they were in the pits of hell before he got there. And he has built them back into a Big Ten contender. But, I mean, that he just does weird shit at the end of ball games. They had a chance to win this game. They should have won this game. and he kicked a field goal down by six. With like 3 minutes left in the game.
With, against a team with a really good running back.
Yeah, like a team that the like only Kentucky thing they're good at is running the ball.
Yeah, it's not like Kentucky was some team that like wasn't like they were Texas Tech in like 2009.
They're a Mike Leach team where they're going to throw the ball no matter what.
Yeah. This is a team who had like literally had the best running back in like school history since like they integrated. Like, this is a team that can run the ball. Is a really dumb decision.
You know, and
I would get it if you're playing Mike Leach, because why the fuck not?
I mean,
you'll probably go three and out, three passes.
Basically, you had a fourth and six with one of the best five quarterbacks in college football.
On one foot.
With a chance to win, with a chance to go win the game, or you get the ball at your own 20 with 1 second left. And James Franklin chose the 1 second left. Which he always does. Like, he just has horrible game theory. I don't know what else to say.
How about second year in a row in the Rose Bowl, Washington plays like shit for all the game and kind of makes it close near the end. Is this a pattern now?
Washington is the best team in the Pac-12 by default. They really should be. Like, if the Pac-12 was a healthy league, they would be, like, second or third in the conference.
Yeah.
They would be the third best team in a great conference. But because the Pac-12 right now is smoking ass, they're the best team, and they have problems.
Because I don't get why Oregon isn't better. And then they you will watch be. Them play
they
Michigan.
Will they will be.
But then you watch them in that Michigan State game, and it's just, ugh.
Oregon will be.
I think it's there for Oregon.
He's building a monster. They signed the fifth best recruiting class in the country.
Yeah, and they got the best quarterback in the nation probably coming back.
Mario Cristobal is going to have the best team in the Pac-12 within about a year. Next year would be early. 2 years, they'll be the best team in the Pac-12.
And I want to talk about this. How about the Sugar Bowl?
Put a pin in the Pac-12. We're going to come back to that because that's something I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, we'll discuss that when we kind of go to, I think, probably coaching. We'll go back to that.
But put a pin in the Pac-12 discussion.
How about that Sugar Bowl?
How about it? I've never seen a team talk so much shit and then get it just thrown back in their face.
Was that
so
not
quickly?
The most like quintessential Georgia thing ever though? Like, you talk a bunch of shit, but you blew like a pretty big lead versus Alabama. Still,
you got your asses kicked by just got straight up asses kicked by LSU.
LSU, you talk a bunch of shit the whole time. You show up versus Texas, and then they kick your ass.
They just,
this is what Texas did. That was a close-ish game.
It wasn't close, though. It wasn't close. Like, Georgia scored a bunch of points.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, on the scoreboard, it looks close. You watch it, no, Georgia got their ass kicked. Texas got whatever they wanted on the ground. Yeah. And you think, like, a team like Georgia would take a little more pride, but apparently not.
Man,
because their coach sucks.
Yeah, it's just they're a team full of guys who think they've won everything before the season starts because they've got a coaching staff telling them that they're all world five star greatest in the world players to get them to come to campus, and then they think like they've already won it before the games start, and then they don't finish drives, and they have a funny habit of getting their asses kicked in games.
You know what the Kirby Smart era of Georgia has been to me? Like, it's artificial. This is an artificially good team.
It's a team full of front.
They look like they're a lot better because of their record, but like their division's awful. The only other good team besides Bama they played this year was LSU. I'd say like not tippy top, but like elite, good to great.
Yeah.
And they got blown out.
They got beat by every. They got beat by every.
Their signature win was Kentucky.
Every team that had, like, top 10, top 20 talent beat them.
Yeah. Except Auburn, but Auburn underachieved.
Auburn had a fucking terrible year.
Yeah. But now Auburn's back.
So, you know, when you look at Georgia, all I see is the same. It's the same team. I mean, and some, you know, that graphic's been going around Twitter. He has the exact same record through 3 years Mark Richt had.
Yeah.
The exact same record. And you look at that and you go, well, yeah, because it's the same team. It's a team full of guys who aren't good enough to go, who don't have the chest to go to Alabama, as Les Miles might say. And they go to Georgia, and they lose every big game.
Yeah, because they don't have a good coach.
And right now, they're just doing well like those early Mark Richt teams did until Florida gets their act together.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the same point in Mark Richt's career, this was the Ron Zook era at Florida.
Yeah,
and you know Kirby's had the benefit of having some Ron Zook like Florida teams to go up against, and now he's gonna have to deal with Dan Mullen. And you know it's like when Urban Meyer showed up at Florida. You know Mark Richt had like maybe one good year.
Well, and maybe a Tennessee team. Not going to challenge you for 5 stars, but maybe they take away a couple, 2 and 3, that kills your depth.
Tennessee is incapable. Tennessee's defensive minded head coach has done such a tremendous job of alienating every single offensive coach in America that they might not have an offensive coordinator next year. So we'll see how Tennessee goes.
No, they're getting the hot rumor.
If Tennessee can Sarkisian. Take it. Oh, God. That tells you that nobody wants to go work for that guy.
Eighth DVOA in the NFL this year. So if you just get Matt Ryan and Julio Jones on Tennessee, you got something going.
Yeah. Tennessee.
There's a reason Sarkisian was fired, people, and it wasn't, and he did an okay job against, like, Cincinnati. He couldn't. It was one of the worst in-game adjusters I've ever seen at offensive coordinator, which is kind of important in college football. Maybe a little more important than it is in the NFL.
Well, it's more important in the NFL because in the NFL, everybody's talent's roughly similar.
You gotta be able to adjust shit in college on the fly, like because it might be like, this end's girlfriend just dumped him and he's not crashed on the option. Let's run a lot of option.
There's something to that, but I think in college sometimes you can get away with just like, well, we've got more talent than them. Let's just keep doing what we do.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah.
And you can't really do that in the NFL all the time. Unless you have Julio Jones and Matt Ryan, and he had them, and he's, you know.
And literally his offense just turned into, third and long, Julio will bail us out. That was
third and Julio.
Let's run up the middle twice, then throw deep to Julio. What a strategy.
That's old-fashioned Detroit Lions football.
Yes.
Third and Calvin. We were bearish on Kirby Smart from the get-go, and then we kind of calmed down, you know, when they made the playoff last year. But, you know, this is starting to look more like the stuff that we both...
They are. I mean, they're artificial. I think, yeah.
Criticize them about. And it's just like, I don't.
Oh, and what happens next year? You play Notre Dame. You actually have to play a real life out of conference game. That's wild for Georgia and Alabama fans to understand. Everyone else does it, but I guess they're just too special not to. So you got to play
Notre Dame. Well, they got to be ready for Georgia Tech, you know.
Yeah.
You can't ask him to be playing all these other teams.
Well,
and
did you
Georgia
see who
Tech
Alabama opens up? You know who opens up in the Chick-fil-A game next year?
Is it West Virginia?
No. Well, I don't. There might. Hopefully, there's two. Because one of them is Alabama Duke.
Oh God.
Good job, Alabama.
Well, that's not their. That's a random thing. That's a SEC-ACC deal, and the ACC-SEC teams are supposed to eventually get a chance to play in it.
Oh,
and Duke, I think, has never been picked, so they
I guess
have
it
to.
Was like, well, you might as well do Duke with Bama, because, like, Duke, like, Vandy isn't going
to
move.
Yeah, Bama always wants to play in a big out-of-conference game early on, and I think Duke just had, it was just their turn. Like, everybody else has had a turn. And in some cases, I think State has played in it, like, twice. Like, there's a bunch of ACC teams that have played in this thing multiple times before Duke has gotten a turn.
I know, like, Wake Forest has not been in.
So it's like Duke's just like, hey, we want to get a big showcase game at some point.
But it's just, you know, whatever. Actually, looking at Georgia's upcoming stuff, though, speaking of Texas, we're going to see Georgia-Texas in, like, a 3-game series in, like, 4 years.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting. And Georgia-Clemson will be back. So, That's your update on the Georgia, which I looked up the other day. I looked up everyone's.
Wouldn't it be funny if just when Georgia gets Clemson back on the schedule, that's when Georgia Tech gets their act together? Because for so many years, Georgia, like the Georgia-Clemson series used to be a big thing in the 80s.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things that got dropped when the SEC expanded and the ACC expanded, because it's like, well, we don't want to play all these extra tough games and then having to play in conference, yada, 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 excuses, excuses. And for years, Georgia was like, well, we don't want to do this because then we'd have to play Georgia Tech, too, at the end of the year. That's, you know, that's just too much. Wouldn't it be funny if Georgia Tech finally gets their program together at the same time Georgia starts playing Clemson again? And it's just like, well, this is what you had nightmares about, and here it is.
But yeah, back to Texas, though. Big statement game, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, Texas has had moments like this.
Well, it's your classic is Texas back.
Yeah.
And jury's still out.
But this was they had two wins against elite teams this year, or top 10 teams. So, they just got – the big thing with Texas is they need to just take care of business against teams that suck. They have proven they can beat and they can hang with elite teams. What they haven't proven is that they have the mental fortitude to play against Iowa State and not – or Maryland. I mean, Maryland's beaten them 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
You know, they can't seem to maintain that edge against bad teams. And that's kind of the opposite of what Mack Brown was at Texas, where Mack Brown beat the shit out of every bad team in the Big 12 and then, you know – had a slightly losing record against Oklahoma.
Can we talk about Mack Brown and Paul Johnson in the coach's film room?
Basically the two heroes of that thing? Because Mack was an awesome host!
Paul Johnson is like like one of those old cars where it takes like 20 minutes for it to heat up.
He was that friend you have who's not a very sociable guy. But then you invite him to a party and he's kind of sitting in the corner or just like playing.
And then like maybe you get him to play some beer pong.
You get him play a couple games of beer pong and then you get a little bit of liquor in him, and then suddenly he's the funniest fucking guy in the room.
Yeah.
And everybody's crowding around him.
Oh, it was so much fun. just insulting the passing game.
at one point Mack is talking about how when he was a coach, He feels bad that he didn't let the backups throw more when they were in the lead. And then Paul just goes, hey, Mac, if it makes you feel better, I didn't let my backups throw either.
What do you say about that Clemson when Clemson
Clemson ran an option run, and they cut the backside. The tight end stayed in and cut the back. Well, I guess it's the front side. They read the backside, and then they had a cut on the front side. And Paul just goes, well, tied in there, scoops that guy, and I didn't know these offenses did those kind of blocks. And it just, and he just sat there, and everybody in there, because they had the Wake Forest coach, and who was the fourth guy? It was the Wake Forest coach, it was Georgia Tech, it was Paul, it was Mack, and it was one other guy.
It was an ACC guy, wasn't it?
Well, was it another ACC guy?
Or was it like Memphis's? No,
it was Memphis's coach. Yeah,
okay,
because he had coached with a lot of Clemson guys on his staff.
Yeah, like that's right. Yeah,
I think he runs a similar offense or something or other.
Yeah,
and like they're just silent because you can tell that they're the guys who complained about the option offense, because like Memphis has to play Navy every year, and Wake has to play in the ACC, and you could just tell. Paul knows every single person who's ever criticized the flex. And he's just like, I didn't know y'all did that kind of stuff. I thought y'all didn't do anything like that. I thought that was just us. And then it was just hung there. They didn't laugh. They didn't they were just like silenced. Like it was just like when some guy in church, just throws something down.
I can't believe they're not doing a coach's film room for the national game.
It's because of the American Football Coaches Association meeting in San Antonio.
Isn't that every year?
Yeah, but this year it's in San Antonio and the game's in Santa Clara. So the coaches couldn't get back and forth easily. Yeah. See, last year the thing was in Atlanta.
Let's talk about this really quick. How dumb Is it to put your championship game? How dumb is it to put anything in Santa Clara?
Yeah, Spencer Hall at SB Nation had the definitive article on this, but
yeah.
God dang. I mean, it's just, at what point do we all just look up and go, the 49ers owner is like the biggest dipshit who ever lived? He moved his team to the middle of nowhere in like Dave Meltzer's backyard.
His name's Jed.
His name is Jed, so you know he can barely speak. And he's
rich. He's from like a rich family.
Of course he is. A poor guy wouldn't be this stupid.
Well, but no, like what rich family is like Jed? That's not a rich name.
No. Rich people always have like goober ass names because they're all named like Winfield Dernovich the Third, and Alfonso Bartholomew the 14th. Like they're all like horrible Holy Roman Emperor names from like the 1800s. And so how do you distinguish between the Aloysius Washington the Third and Aloysius Washington the Fourth? You give him some like bumbling retard nickname. So this one's named Jed and this one's named Chet and this one's named Trey because otherwise we have no way to distinguish them because everybody's name has the same name in this family.
But folks, be ready for the hot take when no one goes to this game that everyone's tired of Clemson, Alabama.
Yeah, just get ready for Big Ten, especially people to be riding this.
Yeah, but in reality, it's like, well,
nobody ever goes to Santa Clara. The Santa Clara WrestleMania was the worst drawing WrestleMania of the last ten years.
Yeah, I'm sure when they do the Super Bowl there, no one's going to go.
The Super Bowl might have the power to go anywhere. I actually do believe the Super Bowl can make anything work, but like, if you're not the Super Bowl.
But they're probably going to have to work for it.
Yeah.
And they will say in Atlanta.
And everybody's going to go. It's going to be like when they did the Super Bowl in Houston and everybody complained about the traffic.
Yeah.
But it's going to be 100 times worse. Because at least Houston is a city with things to do.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really hyped for like Penn State fans to be like, well, everyone's tired of this. And it's like, well, Penn State, you shouldn't have a football program.
Well, it's just like,
oh,
nobody's...
Michigan State, are you saying something in the back, Michigan State? You have something to say? You shouldn't have an athletic program. Your university probably should have been disbanded. Ohio State, you have something to say? No? Okay.
Here's the reality.
Iowa.
They should have a four-game rotation on where the national championship is held every year.
Atlanta, Miami, New Orleans, Dallas.
Five, Rose Bowl.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And it should just rotate those five venues. Because as much as people talk about L.A. and L.A. fans not giving a shit, L.A. is a college football town. They have always liked college
people,
football.
Well, yeah, because you have a lot of people who aren't from L.A. that moved to L.A. Like, it's like Atlanta,
well, and
like
they
it's
have
a
two big
city.
And they have two big programs in L.A. Like,
yeah.
USC and UCLA at various times have had very good teams. They just never have good teams at the same time.
But if they didn't, it'd probably still be a pretty big college football town because like you have a bunch of Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame grads.
Sure.
I'm sure some my SEC schools, like people live there.
And it's and the Rose Bowl is probably the greatest venue for a college football game ever made. So, yeah, put the Rose Bowl, just put that all in rotation and then have the set, like have the other games on campus. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing having all this crap in some sterile NFL field that can't sell? Like, the 49ers, ever since they built that stadium, nobody goes to their games. It's the most miserable football playing experience in the world. It's miserable to watch a game there. The field sucks. Every team that plays there goes, God, this field is terrible. And it's just like, what are we doing? Why are we even doing this?
Yeah.
And the answer is, as Spencer Hall pointed out, we can have a game in wine country.
Like
we can go on a wine junket.
I'd put Phoenix in the rotation.
No.
People tend to like Phoenix.
You don't need to go out west. You've got one thing out west.
But it's warm.
It's warm a lot of places. It's warm in Dallas.
Okay, New Orleans or Phoenix? What are we picking?
If you made me have to choose, I might take Phoenix just because we've already got two in the South. And we've already got Dallas.
Well, I'd say Phoenix is probably better. And, like, Phoenix wouldn't flood if it, like, rained 3 inches.
Well, it never rains.
Yeah. That's the event. There's no floods, no hurricanes. Phoenix.
But there's more racists.
Are there?
In Phoenix? Hell yeah.
The New Orleans?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
The city that just went all charter schools?
Yeah, Phoenix is a million times worse.
I don't know.
Phoenix is like, bad, Phoenix might as well be Mississippi.
New Orleans doesn't even have public schools anymore.
Phoenix might as well be Mississippi.
I think they're competing.
I mean, New Orleans is run by black people, at least.
Black people who hate other black people, though.
I mean, that's better than white people who hate black people.
But Phoenix has a lot of Hispanic people. People
no, they have no political power whatsoever.
I believe, but Arizona has more.
Arizona's
a Democratic senator.
If you want to, like, anytime you start talking about most racist state in America, Arizona is always going to be okay. Like, top three.
But they have a more liberal senator than Louisiana does. They have a bisexual senator, Dan. How dare you insult the progressive state?
Yeah, gay Arizona. People. Gay people racist too.
Shots fired at what's her Simia? Simia.
I do appreciate how uncomfortable she made Mike Pence. He seemed deeply confused by what he was supposed to do there.
What she was wearing, it was amazing. That whole that was such a fun inauguration day because like it was so many like different types of people. And I think, like, Pelosi was just like, yeah, you can bring, like, 30 family members. It's just going to piss off everybody. it was such a blast.
Why did we want to get rid of Nancy Pelosi again? Because she seemed pretty fucking rad. I mean, I'm not going to be Milhouse here and, like, write, like, a fucking Lord of the Rings story about her. But as far as, like, mainstream Dems go, I feel like we could do a lot worse.
Yeah, and she's got big old yams.
I don't know what that means.
People forget that, but Nancy Pelosi's got two big old yams in her shirt.
Okay. That's not what people usually
Nancy
mean.
Nancy Pelosi cans. Yams? Is that?
Yams? I thought that was legs. But that might be gams. I don't know what old timey. I don't know what old timey sexualization.
She's got two big old yams. And it's like, her what? Her pinky toes. Oh.
God, the foot people were so excited by the AOC video. Every foot guy on the internet was like, those tootsies.
So every conservative. Check out the yams on this one.
I hate her policies, but those tootsies.
They're going to end up voting for her because they're too horny. They don't know what to do.
This is the Democrats' future, is just get a bunch of 29-year-old politicians. Who make them too horny to fight back.
It worked for the Republicans.
Oh, yeah. George W. Bush was a real...
Was a hottie.
I knew
girls. You know how, like, in your binder in school, like, that little plastic thing, you could drop, like, a...
Please don't say what you're about to say.
This is for Latin, and maybe, like, girls would put pictures of their friends in there. I knew a couple girls who had George W. Bush's, like, high school picture or college picture.
This just says more about what school, what kind of school both of us went to than anything else.
He was a handsome boy when he was a cheerleader. People forget that.
I knew one straight male cheerleader, by the way.
They're all straight, don't you? That's what everyone always... No, actually, he's the most badass guys. They're like hockey players and Marines put together.
if we could build a football team out of an entire...
Sexuality's fluid, man. You can do whatever you want. Like, you can be gay, straight, bi, whatever. Just, don't...
All the male cheerleaders I knew were, like, very aggressively aggro, and then just like to suck dick every now and again. It's like, I just suck dick. It's not Gary.
So, okay. You ever hear about the cheerleader who punched a football player when he called him gay once?
No.
And then Marine Todd got his back.
Marine Todd was a male cheerleader.
Yes. Every male Republican politician was a male cheerleader. Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. Yeah, they all, like, want to be close to masculinity, but not actually masculine.
Yeah. That's why they all hate black people. I would have started.
I could have been on the football team. No, you're 5'8". You have tiny hands. Yeah.
Like, no, you could even start on your single-A private school football team. You thought you could go D1? You had 5 carries for 2 yards.
Like,
against the Jewish school.
You had web feet. Like, what are you talking about? Because that's the other thing. They're all, like, weird, inbred, like, rich people, like, creeps.
Yeah.
So, like, they have, like, weird inbred things, like webbed feet and...
We don't talk about it. Like, that's, like, proof that there probably is, like, at the very least, like, a pretty mean god. We're like, yeah, they're super rich, don't have to ever work again, but, like, they grow boils, like, all over their body every 3 years.
The other thing about the AOC video that I love people talking about was, like, oh, man, all these, like, weirdo DC creeps thought that in order for them to get on this track to end up in Washington, they had to, like, wear bow ties and carry a briefcase in high school. And then somebody was just normal and ended up being a congressman at 28. And it's like, wait, I thought I had to completely subsume my entire personality and just be the most fucking irritating person in my school.
As our boy Project Humanoid, I think, pointed out, what did he say? He's like, AOC is just like the left Trump. Like, everything they do just sticks off and, like, bounces back to someone else. Like, and, like, it's true. Like, her and Trump are the only, like, media-savvy politicians left, it seems.
Because Trump's all of these people... Media,
Trump's just good, or he was.
He never touched... If you notice, he never goes after AOC.
Yeah.
He went after the Muslim congressman who called him a motherfucker. But he never touches AOC because he's like, oh, she's savvy.
Yeah, because he knows. My message, because he's cause also too, because she's from New York. Trump respects that, I think. Another fake New Yorker.
Hey, he's not from New York. He's from Queens.
In Queens, from Long Island, Brooklyn, Queens. That's the new character I'm working. Guy who doesn't understand how the boroughs work. Yeah, I'm from Manhattan, Bronx. Manhattan, which actually might be where the Bronx is, actually. I think it is in Manhattan, isn't it?
I don't think so.
I'm from Queens, Brooklyn.
I'm from Harlem, Long Island.
I took the X train to Long Island, and then Harlem, Long Island.
I took the A train. I just rode on Albert's back.
You want to talk about these playoff games? Like, who cares? Right? We knew this. This was, like, the year we just needed the BCS back.
Yeah, this was the year where it's like, okay, we didn't always, like, well, this is the year why they have a 4-team playoff, which is weird because this is, like, everybody's talking about it. This is the year everybody was talking about an 8-team for some reason.
Yeah.
And, like, this is the reason why they settled on 4, and it's because most years you're not going to have enough teams to really even have a 4. Like, most years, you're not going to even have enough quality teams to have 4 teams in.
Yeah.
So, if you go to 8, you're, like, going to have a real, like, it's going to be a lot of games nobody cares about.
And 4 was good because it shut up, like, Notre Dame fans. They'd be like, we were screwed. We went undefeated and didn't get to go in. It's like, well, you got to play Clemson.
Yep. Okay, here's your chance to prove how good you are. Okay, you suck. Go away.
But I wonder if Notre Dame, if they take advantage early, if that's a different game. But they didn't.
They could. No, Clemson's offense was so much better than their defense. Like, they just, they had
no answer. Clemson's defense. I mean, they were in the backfield, like, every play.
Yeah.
Notre Dame just got their ass. It's just,
they're just not as good.
I really don't like when people be like, well, Notre Dame doesn't belong. It's like, well, their strength of schedule was harder than Clemson. Okay, so, yeah. But, like,
they deserved to be in the game, and they clearly were not as good as the other 3 teams.
Yeah. And, like, we should all be, and everyone's miserable about it. It's like, we just watched Notre Dame get embarrassed. Why are we all upset?
Yeah, it's just like, Notre Dame was one of the 4 most deserving teams, and they also were not as good as the other 3 teams in this thing. And so they got their asses kicked. The end.
Oklahoma it started off so slow they didn't have a shot. To me. Yeah,
they took too long to get going. But they eventually did.
I don't know if Bama took the gas off or what, but like.
I think Oklahoma offensively is just too good. You're not going to hold them down for four quarters.
I think to like the beginning though, I think Murray, that's why you take the baseball money right there. Because the NFL will eat you. You're literally like 5'7". Dude, like,
I would always tell everybody, if you have a chance to get baseball money and not have to get hit in the face, take baseball money.
Well, especially if you're like 5'8", and like, you might be like, some linemen are almost a foot taller than you, and like, you have to see over them, dude. Like, that ain't gonna work.
Like, just don't get hit in the face. That's my big...
If you're gonna get hit in the face by baseball...
That's my big PSA, is just go out there and not get hit in the face.
Excuse me.
We got an early morning record.
Yeah, it's 11:30. one of us maybe stayed up late watching Burn Notice. So, when you're a spy, let's move on.
Greatest show.
Before we get the national championship, let's talk some other miscellaneous sports stuff. I want to talk is John Jones, my boy. He's back.
Yeah. I mean, did anybody think that fight was going to go any other way than the way it went?
No, because he's a giant screw-up, but he's the greatest fighter of all time.
And Gustafson is, like, basically a guy who was a one-night wonder, who had one great night of his career where he almost beat John Jones, and that's everything since that night has made it quite clear that that was a fluky night, and that was... You know, kind of like a Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson night for him, where everything went right.
Yeah,
except he didn't. Except he didn't happen. You know,
things that happen in sports sometimes.
Like sometimes you have a guy who's inferior, who has a one shining moment, as the song goes, and that one night was his one shining moment, and he didn't quite win it, but he came close. And every fight since that fight has made it clear that he is not a guy on that level. Almost like Holly Holm with Ronda Rousey, where the right night, the right opponent, everything was perfect, and she had her one shining moment and has never been worth a shit since. That's Gustafson against John Jones. And let's just not talk about Gustafson. Like, nobody has to ever bring up Gustafson as a legit contender.
Yeah. That's all over. Next up, Mark Rick retires.
Wouldn't fire his kid.
Good for him.
Was not willing to fire his kid. Probably would have done Temple a solid if he'd given Manny Diaz some kind of hint this was coming.
Yeah.
Because Manny Diaz ended up leaving Temple in the lurch.
It just came after the bowl game was so not good.
I think if they hadn't lost that bowl game, if they had won that bowl game, the coaching staff as it was could have come back another year.
Yeah.
But the way they got humiliated... people in Miami wanted a coaching change on offense.
Yeah.
And Mark Rick wasn't willing to make it. So,
so now he's dragging Paul Johnson to Bible study, baby.
And so he's going to go build churches in Honduras.
Yeah. But Miami gets maybe, I think Miami's dead.
Well, here's
this is my hot take.
Okay, here's the one thing the one reason why I don't think Miami's necessarily dead. And he's out in Oregon, and his name's Mario Cristobal. And he didn't take it this year because I think that wouldn't have been a great move.
Oregon's a better job. Oregon's a better job than Miami.
I think Cristobal will be the Miami coach in 4 years because I don't think Manny Diaz is going to work out. Not anything to do with Manny Diaz. Manny Diaz is a great defensive coach. But I don't think Manny Diaz is going to be able to do what needs to be done to turn Miami into a modern powerhouse. I think he's going to be like every other coach Miami has hired in recent years, where it's a fine move on paper and it just doesn't end up working out. And then they fire him and then they wonder what they are. And then in 3 or 4 years, however long Manny Diaz gets, Mario Cristobal will be ready to leave Oregon, and he'll come home. And Mario Cristobal, if there's anybody in the whole of the country who can turn Miami back into Miami, it's Mario Cristobal. Because that guy, we talked about it earlier, he just inked the number 5 recruiting class to Oregon. And
or Dan, will he be looking at the new Miami, which is UCF?
No, Mario Cristobal went to Miami. He's from Miami. He grew up in the city of Miami. He will go back to Miami one day. The timing didn't work out this year.
Maybe. I'm not going back to my hometown one day.
Well, your hometown's not Miami.
It is.
Your hometown is like Sandy Fuck, Georgia.
No, my hometown is Macon, Georgia. Where I was born and raised. Otis Redding, the Allman Brothers.
My hometown is Winston-Salem. It's not exactly a place that you dream about going back to. But Miami is the kind of place where it's like, yeah, I'd love to go home. Because it's Miami.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Miami is Miami. Like, it's not.
Maybe.
We're
not from Miami. Maybe if you're from Miami, you're like, this, I'd rather be where it's cold.
Nobody from Miami has ever said, I
know
dream
that.
Of being
maybe,
cold.
Maybe Cristobal's really racist. He's like, I don't want to be around Cubans. There
he's
no Cubans
Cuban!
Oh. Maybe he's self-hating.
That isn't totally uncommon amongst Cubans.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
We'll see. But here's my hot take, Dan. UCF's better than Miami right now. And
yeah,
they will say that.
It is.
They're a better program.
And when I'm talking about Cristobal, he's literally the only hope Miami has left, in my opinion.
Yeah. Unless they go with like a niche offense or something weird.
Well, they won't do that. But
yeah. I don't see it with Miami. I think it's over. I think UCF is clearly the third school in the Florida schools. And
well, I don't think you can say that because you could have said that about South Florida a few years ago.
No,
G5.
South Florida never had the success UCF did. Nothing close to what UCF. UCF just won 22 in a row and is a national name now.
Yeah, but South Florida's had some really good teams that were clearly better than Central. Like, it's just, we've seen this in the American Conference, is that ground is a lot more fluid. Because just a few years ago, we were talking about Houston. And then they had 2 shitty years, and we'll talk more about what Houston's done to make sure that doesn't happen anymore. But, we were just talking about Houston as this unstoppable juggernaut
program. But Houston
didn't
lose their coach and stay undefeated.
I mean,
UCF did.
It's just 1 year. It's just 1 year with the same team left. Like, they were able to bring back almost the entire same team. So, a lot of times when you lose your coach, you get like that dead cat bounce year where everybody just keeps doing what was working the year before, and you're able to keep that going for a year. Two or three years down the road
it's an easy school to get into. It's in Florida.
Oh, no doubt.
I think it's got so many recruiting advantages.
The big advantage
like,
advantage they have over South Florida is they have no local competition. For eyeballs. In Orlando, it's all Mickey Mouse and Central Florida because they don't have the Magic have basically voluntarily decided they don't want to be a pro franchise for like the last 8 years.
Yeah. Basically, if you're a Magic fan.
Since they lost Dwight Howard, they have voluntarily decided not to play pro basketball.
You lost Shaq. You had Tracy McGrady in his prime. You were this close to getting Tim Duncan, but you wouldn't let his wife use the team plane. That was it.
You know, you just look at them and
cursed franchise.
They are cursed. There's no question about they sold their soul to get 2 back-to-back number 1 picks and then like got monkey pawed into having everything else be cursed.
Yeah.
But
they lowballed Shaq.
That's your only, locally, that's your only competition is the Orlando Magic. You have no football competition. You're not competing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're not competing with the Tampa Bay Rays. You're not competing with anything else locally, which is what South Florida has.
No, you go to a kid and you say, listen, in a top 25 metro area, which I wouldn't say, I'd say in a top metro area, you're a star.
They are the top 25 markets, aren't they?
They are. They're like, I think they might be top 15 almost. But still, you go, listen, in a major U.S. city, you're going to be the number one star in terms of sports in that city. That's what you can sell at UCF.
Yeah.
At Miami, you know what you're selling? Well, we just kind of hope the president doesn't notice us this year. Like, And I don't mean Donald Trump. I mean the president of Miami, the academic president.
Yeah.
It is not a school that embraces football. UCF embraces football. It is all they fucking have.
Basically, the thing about Miami.
They don't have academics. The top class there is what? Like how to cut grass?
Yeah. Like, it's how, no, it's everything's about working at Disney at Central Florida. It's like all of these like Disney style jobs, like amusement park management. How to wear a costume and not sweat to death.
How to get rid of a dead body.
And quietly.
That's actually a class taught in every Florida school by law.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's be frank. This is Florida we're talking about. And yeah. and it's funny. Every essay question involves just driving to the Everglades. I mean, it feels like, you know, we don't really need all these classes at some point.
So yeah, I just think with UCF, I look at UCF and with the right, I mean, they got to get a lot of stuff right for it to like kind of work on this ground level they're at, but like, it's fucking there to like, what if the FSU keeps sucking? You could be number two in that state.
Yeah. Right now things are in a bad situation as far as some of their other rivals where, I mean, it's clear that Florida's getting their act together.
The thing is, Florida's about to be a juggernaut. I got this feeling that Florida's about to, like, we're going to hate Florida.
But the one thing is they're not great. I mean, Dan Mullen's not a great recruiter. So, yeah, is he going to make Florida back into a team that can compete? Sure. But he's never going to be the world's greatest recruiter. There's always going to be some talent left over. Like, Dan Mullen is not Nick Saban, where he just nails down every piece of good talent and there's nothing left after he gets done picking it over.
Yeah.
Dan Mullen's going to leave some guys. And there's definitely room for a team that's not having to play an ACC schedule, that's not having to play an SEC schedule, but can lap up all this talent and win 10 or 11 games and then be
and
able
go,
to like,
and now they have the recognition
out.
To like they're going to get to go to bowls.
Absolutely. Good. They're going to have
a like a case
in
for
bowls.
Like this is like where if they keep winning 10 games, they're going to get stuck in the Citrus Bowl every... It's like, no! Well, the Citrus Bowl's pretty good now. Like, they're not going to get stuck in the Gator Bowl or something weird every year. Like, this is a team that, like, the Fiesta Bowl committee or whoever knows their fans travel. They get good ratings. They play an exciting brand of football. But you want UCF to be in your major bowl if they've won a bunch of games.
Yeah.
I think. Because, like, the fans are passionate. Like, they suck, but they're passionate. Like, you can't get mad about that. They travel.
And I want to segue into another issue. If there's one thing we've just learned this offseason, if you are a high-ranked G5 team and you have money to pay, there are coaches, such as the man we're about to talk about, Dana Holgorsen, who would rather coach at a high G5 school in a major metro area where you're close to talent. If you're willing to pay him so that he's not taking a pay cut, so that he's getting paid and he has staff money, which is what Houston just did. Houston just gave Dana Holgorsen Clemson money.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting $4 million for his coaches. He's getting paid $5 million a year with a $4 million a year coaches pay pool. He's going to be able to go out there and hire a Clemson style staff where you have $2 million coordinator.
Yeah, well, is this Houston? Is this part of the Houston run? Because, like, what's the Big 12 deal? Like, in 2 years, they're going to reevaluate stuff, right?
Well, the grant of rights ends for the Big 12 in 2 years, and so nobody knows what's going to happen.
Okay,
and
but I
think what Houston's kind of positioning themselves for is that if the Big 12 breaks up or if the Big 12 ends up in the Pac-12, what they're really doing is trying to lobby to get in with those Texas schools when they move to the Pac-12, if that happens.
Yeah.
Because Houston's been lobbying the Pac-12 hard for a while. And what I think, what their move they're trying to do is join the Pac-12 before the Big 12 breaks up.
So that you don't deal with, like, any weird Texas.
So that there's no, like, Texas trying to lock them out. Which is what happened when the Big 12 fell apart. Or when the Southwest Conference fell apart and they joined the Big 12. Is that should have been... I mean, if you look at... competitive-wise, the teams that had competed for championships in the Southwest Conference, that should have been Texas, Texas A&M, Houston, and Texas Tech. Baylor got in because the governor at the time was a Baylor grad. So Baylor got in over Houston to the Big 12.
Yeah.
I think what Houston's wanting to do is join the Pac-12 early, and then if Texas moves to the Pac-12, they're already there, and they can't be locked out. Or just trying to beat down the doors and get in the Big 12. You know, you have a lot of people in the Big 12 who don't like the way Houston runs their department. They think they're too gauche, for lack of a better word. They're too Las Vegas. I mean, the guy who runs their department is the third Fertitta brother. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. Tillman Fertitta is the daddy writing checks over there. But I mean, Houston is ponying up in a way no G5 team has ever ponied up before. And they're hiring Dana Holgorsen to come turn Houston into a 10 or 11 win team every year. Dana has always wanted to be back in Houston. Dana, if you know anything about Dana, he loves his nightlife. So this might not work out because he might go to too many strip clubs and come back in and not be in any position to perform his duties. But, you know, this is to me a game-changing hire, because what we're seeing definitively is a job like Houston or a job like Central Florida or even a South Florida are in some ways better positioned than West Virginia, a team with a lot more historical success. Well, West Virginia and Houston are probably about even on historical success. Mm-hmm. The reason why one of them is what we're seeing is
modern success.
One of the things here is what's starting to happen is some of these teams that got lucky in realignment to get a seat at the big boy table are versus the teams that got left out but were former power conference members.
Yeah.
We're starting to see some of that. Like, yeah, Houston's obviously going to be good at football. Houston's been good at football since 1960. Like, they've been consistently good at football for 60 years now, almost. Of course they're in a better position to be successful than Kansas. Even though Kansas has always been in a power conference and Houston sometimes hasn't been. Why wouldn't Houston be a better program than Kansas? Why?
Yeah.
And so why wouldn't a successful coach not rather be at Houston than at West Virginia, and where you're completely separated from all of your longtime rivals and all of your longtime recruiting areas. And so if you look at what West Virginia is trying to do, because their recruiting has been so fucked up by moving to the Big 12, is they're going to play the hardest schedule in America. Because West Virginia is going to be playing Pitt, Penn State, and Virginia Tech. Like, they're going to be playing Pitt every year for the next 4 years, and they're going to be playing Virginia Tech every other year, and Penn State every other year. So they're going to be playing 11 power conference teams for the next 5 years, because their old recruiting areas were Western Pennsylvania, the Tidewater, and D.C., and then Florida. They have no Florida teams in their conference anymore, so they're at least trying to get back their backyard by playing teams around them. And trying to get butts in the seats, because it's tough to get. I mean, West Virginia has one of the best fan bases in the country, but it's tough to get excited for Iowa State coming to your town. It's tough to get excited for Kansas.
Yeah.
It's even tough to get excited sometimes for Oklahoma, because you didn't grow up caring about Oklahoma. You know, you're having to adjust to the fact that it's like, well, Oklahoma is a good team, so I guess we need to care about them. But deep down, if you cut a West Virginia guy open, he wants to beat Penn State and Pitt every year.
Yeah.
He wants to beat Virginia Tech, because Virginia Tech is 20 minutes from their campus. So West Virginia is trying to have these extremely aggressive schedules to try to make up the ticket sales they lost by being in this far-flung conference and trying to get their recruiting base back. And as a result, there wasn't a lot of people wanting to coach at West Virginia. They hired Neil Brown, which was a home run hire for their situation. And it ain't shocking to me that Dana Holgorsen was looking for an exit, knowing he's going to probably go 6-6 the next couple of seasons with that schedule. Yeah. So.
But I thought they kind of nailed that hire.
I mean, Neil Brown is the absolute best case scenario, because he doesn't change their recruiting. He comes from a similar background. He even comes from a similar background to Dana, where it's like a air raid guy who decided a few years ago that they need to be more running. They need to have more running in the system.
Yeah.
So it's similar in the sense that obviously they're an air raid team. They're going to be running all the air raid pass plays, but they also want to be more balanced and set up play action opportunities. Yeah. Basically, it's just running the football so that when you play action, people buy it.
Real quick, any other hires that we didn't talk about? I think we covered everything, though.
We've covered a lot of the hires.
Who gets the Troy job?
That's an interesting job, because Troy's a place...
It's not like... It's one of those that doesn't feel like a big deal unless you're in the circles. But to me, that if I'm like a coach in the Southern, you know, the Southern Conference, like D2 or whatever.
Or if I'm an assistant at
yeah, like a lot of hands are about to shuffle with these like jobs right here. Troy, he's going to take a lot of guys from Troy.
Troy, one thing about Troy is that they're in a great spot. They're in Southern they're in Lower Alabama, close to the Florida line, so you can recruit Florida, you can recruit Georgia, you can recruit Alabama.
Well, and Dan, did you know this? I don't know if this still is true.
They have no academic standards either.
No, if you live in the dorms at Troy, you get in a. You used to. I don't know if this is true now. You used to get NFL Sunday Ticket as just part of your cable package.
I think NC State had that.
How cool is that?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I think at my school it was like, do we even get ESPN2? Like,
I do remember. Troy, like, academics-wise and where you're positioned on the state university scale is kind of similar to East Carolina here in North Carolina. And East Carolina had by far the best dorms of any college in the state of North Carolina.
Well, that's what you do. You're like, well, we can't learn them good, but you'll have fun.
Yeah. Like, you can go get drunk, and all their dorms had central AC instead of the window.
But you know what? You know what, kids? It doesn't matter. Because you know what? You're only going to be successful if you have the connections. It doesn't matter. You can be top of your class. Guess what? The guy with the C average.
Whose dad is a realtor who can introduce him to everybody.
He'll be a millionaire. It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Exactly.
Never forget that. Unless you're like into math or something. Even if it's math.
Or it's not always who you know, it's how charming are you?
Yeah. You know what wins?
You can get along in life even if you didn't know everybody, if you're able to like meet people and like
So you know what? Those people might make fun of you for going to Troy, but you know what? You had an NFL Sunday ticket for free every Sunday. You learned how to be social.
As much as the sociopathic nerds who want to disrupt everything don't want to believe, just being able to like get along with people will get you far farther in life than whether you
yeah. Because where are these people doing in life? Are they that rich? Like no, the rich people are the ones who are at least decently social. Like you think Bezos probably isn't fun at a party? He's probably a blast.
The guys who make all the money in Silicon Valley are the people who can like charm VCs into giving them money.
Yeah, and like you don't think they you know like social with Elon Musk he probably would be okay to go to his party.
Elon Musk is the most charming person in Silicon Valley, which tells you how fucking lame most of them are. I mean, at least he's not. He was like the charming one with Peter Thiel because Peter Thiel was asking you if he could drink your blood. And it's
which
like,
in a
okay.
Way, it's kind of charming because people give up their blood to Peter Thiel. You think they just do that? No, because they like him. All right.
Well, he has that sweaty upper lip that's very difficult to turn down.
Are you ready to discuss the last college football game of this season?
North Dakota State versus Eastern Washington.
No, is that
that's taking place today as we record?
Okay. No, we're talking the NCAA Division 1A, FCS,
FBS,
BCS,
the College Football Playoff National Championship. Is what it's technically called.
Alabama, Clemson, in beautiful Santa Clara, California. Clemson catching 6.
I think it's going to be 40 degrees outside.
Which plays right into Bama's hands.
Give me Clemson in this game, by the way.
If this spread was more, I would feel a lot more comfortable taking Clemson. I still haven't made a decision.
I don't think Alabama can stop them. Clemson's offense is too balanced.
But can Clemson stop Bama?
I think so, because I think the answer to playing Alabama is drop 8, rush 4, and Clemson can do it.
Yeah. I think this is going to be a slugfest, though. I'll tell you that right now. I like Clemson plus 6 because I think this game is decided by less than a touchdown.
Oh, yeah, it's going to come right down to the wire. It's going to be...
This is like what you want for college football. This is two fucking powerhouses who didn't touch each other all year, who went through everybody in their schedule. They overcame adversity at different times.
Both dealt with quarterback issues.
Yeah. And, like, now they're going to fucking go at it in the rubber match. Like, you can't... I'm so, like, okay, maybe there's no one in attendance. I don't give a shit. This thing's ratings are going to be sky high.
Yeah. This thing's going to... You're going to read a bunch of dumb columns about how nobody wants to watch this
from
anymore.
From Michigan grads.
And then the rate... Or, like, Alabama haters. Because there's, like, professional Alabama haters like Dan Wolken, who are just, like, constantly saying, this is bad for the sport that Alabama's so good. And then, and then they're going to win this game by, the ratings for this game are going to be through the roof.
Yeah.
Unless it's a blowout, we're wrong. You know, because if it's a blowout, obviously nobody cares. Nobody's going to watch a blowout.
But, like, in terms of hyping, like, this is a big fucking deal, people.
Yeah.
It'd be better if it was, like,
all right, Joe Biden.
Watson was still in Clemson, but.
I don't know. Clemson's got the sexy long-haired quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, they got a guy the nation's going to fall in love with, the creeper.
Hey, he's not a creeper, is he?
He looks like one.
He looks too cool to be a creeper.
Mm. So did Brock Turner.
No, that guy looked like a fucking weirdo from the get-go.
That's true.
Never trust swimmers. I've learned that in my life.
Don't trust anyone who's white.
I mean, that's a damn good rule to go by. But in general, if anybody who's like a swimmer in college is almost always going to be fucked up.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm hyped for this. I'll say right now, I didn't think I'd be this excited for this matchup. But like, the more I think about it, and like, it's the rubber match, and it's like, it kind of decides who maybe was the better team in the playoff era so far of the last half decade. It's a big deal. This feels like a really important game.
I'm just hoping Clemson carries that ACC banner and we get to do those ACC chants. That's all I'm looking for.
Yeah. I can't wait for more Big Ten fans to get mad about like why people chant SEC and not understand. Well, they chant it because it's easy to chant.
EC dub.
Yeah. Same thing.
90% of ECW chants. We're
two
just
the same letters.
It's fun. SEC, SEC, EC dub.
And you can't really do it. Excuse me. Oh, black lung.
It's all right, boy. New rule on the podcast is if you cough on air, you have to do an Arthur Morgan impression.
I just don't,
Dutch, I don't know.
Did you see the Malzahn? Did we talk about this? The meme with Malzahn and Dutch?
No.
It was like, I think like either Jason Kirk or like an Auburn fan tweeted it, but it was like, Gus's head on Dutch's body, and it was like, I told you to wait, have some patience.
Have some faith, Tahiti! And then instead of that meaning like
Nashville. It's just Nashville.
Well, they end up going to the Bahamas Bowl for some reason.
Yeah, which would own. So many Auburn fans would be mad and be like, that's the one I'll go to. Did you read that article like a year ago in the Bahamas Bowl?
That it's the most fun thing in the world?
Yeah, it's like the greatest bowl of all time. There's no security. People in the Bahamas have no idea what college football is, and they don't think it's important. So,
well, the funniest thing to me is that it was originally the Popeyes Bahamas Bowl, and nobody, not a single person on the Bahamas has ever heard of Popeyes fried chicken. Like, literally, the most eaten thing on the island is KFC. And so now they've dropped Popeyes as a sponsor, and they had KFC shit all over the stadium.
Who was the sponsor? Wasn't it like Was it that was suburb it the casino? Of Chicago? Or
was it poker? The... Oh, yeah. There was like a suburb that wanted to sponsor a game.
Yeah.
Come to suburban Chicago. Our racists
Which, like, I looked
still,
it up.
Our they racists are less Polish now.
They have the largest industrial park in the country. So...
You wouldn't have known that if they hadn't,
Yeah. So there's a reason to go.
Whenever I think of suburban Chicago, I always just think of that Jimmy Pardo impression of the people he grew up around. Because he grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. And he says every time he went home, every time he goes home, they like the people in the suburb he grew up with would just tell him, "They're coming, Jim. They're coming. They're coming." Meaning blacks. They're coming. They're moving down south here, Jim.
Real quick, though. You like Clemson, correct?
I like Clemson. I think their offense
Clemson,
is devastating.
I like Clemson +6. I will never bet against Nick Saban.
Well, I mean, you bet against him when Clemson's involved, don't you? Doesn't Clemson have a winning record against him?
Do they?
Are they either 1-1 or 2-1?
I think they're 1-1 because they don't play each other in the regular season, I don't think.
They've played each other like 4 times, haven't they?
I thought it was twice. No, 3.
This is going to be
Didn't they beat up Clemson a few years ago in the playoff?
They beat them in the semifinals.
Yeah, so they're 2-1, technically. But this is the championship rubber match, so it's different.
Give me Clemson.
For marketing purposes.
I just like Dabo in general better than Saban. Dabo's a much more laid-back guy.
I like Saban way better than Dabo.
I just like that Dabo's way more laid-back.
Who would you rather hang out with?
Dabo!
No, Dabo's going to like make you read the Bible.
No, he won't. Dabo's like one of those
Dabo's
strip
like a Christian.
Dabo's guy. A strip club Christian.
No.
Yeah, he is. Dabo is absolutely a strip club
I'd
Christian.
Rather, you know what I'd rather hang out with Saban? Because he's not going to talk to me. And that's what I want in a friend. It's just someone who just sit there.
Nick Saban is a woke Democrat, though.
Yeah, people forget that.
Whereas Dabo is super Republican. Dabo is super
no
South
doubt.
Carolina.
He's like the Republican Party's a little too liberal for me.
You know, I really had high hopes the Tea Party would finally get rid of these rhinos, but, you know.
The Jews.
He thinks
just
Susan
Dabo Collins. Yelling about the Jews for 3 hours.
He thinks Susan Collins is a Jew.
who's like the Nikki Haley? He thought Nikki Haley was Muslim.
Isn't she?
I thought she was Indian.
Oh, that's right. She's not really not Muslim.
Remember when the Louisiana Republicans trotted out their like
Bobby Indian Jindal? Stuff? He was going to be Republican Obama.
Yeah, the next superstar. And, like, what's Bobby Jindal doing now? Like, selling...
Bobby Jindal, immediately after he did that speech, became, like, the least popular Louisiana governor of all time. And think about what that entails. Think about all
well,
of...
Well, it's because everyone in Louisiana went, oh, he's brown? I didn't know.
He also completely bankrupted the state.
Yeah.
Which is a thing Republican governors have a tendency
to
do.
And he later became Dan Ninen.
100% clean comedy. The reality with the South for like the last 30 years is that the states that are functioning are states with Democratic governors and then insane Republican legislatures.
Well,
but they have like a Democratic governor to like keep the shit from getting too weird. When they get Republican governors, things go sideways.
Georgia's doing pretty well, but Deal was more pragmatic, I think is a better word than moderate. Deal realized, oh, corporations have gay people. Let's not make horrible legislation against them.
The southern states that don't function are the states that let the guys who run for legislature run for governor.
Yes.
Which is why North Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Virginia have become much more successful states than like South Carolina, Mississippi, and Alabama.
Plus these states weren't like...
Which are states which have no functioning Democratic Party whatsoever.
And, like, Alabama or Mississippi's like, let's really buckle down on persecuting sodomy. 2012. And, like, the other states are like, well, let's just kind of ignore this gay shit because we're all making money. You know?
Well, it's also the states that don't have a city.
Yeah.
Like, what is the biggest city in Alabama? Birmingham?
I think so.
Birmingham ain't shit.
But then places with a pro sports team tend to be better places to live.
Mm.
Fun fact. Can you think of a good state without one? Like, maybe, like, what, Rhode Island?
Rhode Island kind of has the Patriots. Because yeah. The Patriots are halfway between Boston and Providence.
Yeah.
That's where Foxborough
is. Delaware. You know they're paying millennials to move to, like, Vermont?
That's weird.
Because they don't have any young people.
That's a problem in general up north.
Yeah. But I would move. Vermont's going to be like, here's free shit. Then, yeah.
I'll yeah.
go up there.
I mean, Alaska's been doing that for years. But it's mainly just because it's such a rape. Like, it's such a rape factory that they couldn't get women or children to move there without paying them a check.
Yeah, because, like, who wants to move to Alaska? That's, like, the most... Alaska, like, makes... Like, what's another depressing state? Like, North Dakota. It makes North Dakota look like Miami.
Like, what if North Dakota was completely cut off from the rest of society?
And, like, there wasn't sun for some reason for half the year. Like, who wants to live there?
But then they have other parts of the year where they have nothing but sun for, like, 2 months.
It wasn't meant for people to live there. It's just like Russia. Like, people were not supposed to live there. Sorry. What can you grow in Russia? Potatoes?
They do grow a lot of potatoes.
It's like vodka.
Yeah. Potatoes can grow anywhere, though. That's the thing about potatoes.
So
you gotta try really hard not to grow potatoes.
Except in mid-1800s Ireland.
Well, that was done intentionally. That was England trying to exterminate the Irish people.
And they failed.
So. Not for lack of trying, but they're now stunned that Ireland doesn't want to help them in Brexit. It's like England has spent literally 1,000 years doing everything they can to exterminate the Irish people, and then they're stunned that Ireland doesn't want to do them a solid.
Yeah, England's like that guy, you know, on, like, Facebook who, like, was a major bully to you or your friends or something in high school.
And then,
has a GoFundMe because, like, he, like, broke all of his bones in an ATV accident. And he's like, well, why won't Jimmy give me money? And it's like, well, because you called him a faggot every day. And, he almost killed himself. That's probably why. Like, why don't he forgive me? Well, why the fuck should he, Billy? Why the fuck? You know? Because you were.
But I'm having hard times. Yeah, his mom died, and you made fun of it.
Yeah, that's fucked up. You literally peed on his mom's grave, dude.
That's weird. Like, you were a psychotic weirdo.
Which is, this is the stuff England did to Ireland. We're
like, Ireland, I mean, they literally just exterminated all of, like, Northern Ireland to fill it with full of British people.
Yeah.
Like, so they murdered everybody in Belfast.
There's our weekly shit on England.
Yeah.
But that's it for me. We'll be back later this week, though. Break down the national championship game and get you ready. Because, Dana, we're going with it. Maybe a little new format in the new year.
Yeah. Now, football season ends. We start experimenting.
Yeah. And
we get super experimental on this show.
We're going to explore some history in college football.
Put on our historian hats. You know, we're really,
really
good at.
All we're really good at.
Like, that is the name of this podcast, is the historian cast. We're like those guys who do the Rex Factor podcast.
Yeah. And we're going to put together a portfolio, and we're going to have Barstool Bias.
Yep, that's the name of this game.
You, me, and Dave, Poidnoy, Dan, all hanging out, having fun.
I will sell
Saturdays
out.
Saturdays are for the boys! Woo!
I work Knockout in real estate. I will sell anything to anybody. You want to buy my house? You want to buy my house? Here. Give me an offer. Yeah. You can buy
Breitbart.
It.
Breitbart Sports, it's still there.
I thought that website was almost completely defunct.
Oh, is it gone now?
Well, it's like a shadow of itself.
How is, like, the Drudge Report still around?
Because that thing has never cost anything. Like,
that's true.
That's, like, the only conservative website with no dark money.
Yeah.
Because it's just, like, a weirdo, shut-in gay guy.
Who's probably not even gay. He's probably just, like, a pedophile.
He's deeply gay.
Oh, is he?
Like, he is.
Like a pedophile?
I'm not sure
gay
about that.
A lot of those conservative people aren't real gay people. They're, like, fucked up in the head.
Well, yeah, like Crystal. Like, Bill Crystal's dad. Like, that was the gimmick, is he would take all the young staffers at the National Review out on his yacht, and then they would suck each other off.
Oh, yeah!
But, like, But like the deal with Matt Drudge is he's super gay. Like he's flaming gay. Like he has he's got like a speech impediment. He has to kind of hold off. He has to fight off like people being able to hear it. Like he's that's one of the reasons why he never really was big. Like he always stayed more reclusive than the other conservative online people. Is because he was all like deeply concerned about people finding out. And then they found out anyway. So he just retreated more into his bubble.
Yeah.
He's also like a psycho. Like he's one of those people who thinks if he leaves the house...
Yeah, look at his website!
He's one of those people who thinks...
No sane person would have a website that looks like that in 2018.
He's the Dave Meltzer of online Republicans.
Yes. It is, like...
Like, what if Dave had never met Brian Alvarez and changed anything about his online presence?
It's just still like, how do you have an 80s looking website, Dave Meltzer? The internet wasn't even around back then. And this looks like it's from 1985. How does that work?
He works very hard at it. That's all I can tell you.
Clearly someone tried very hard. But that's it for me. So.
And that's it for me. Thanks for your support and another football season. We'll wrap up. We'll talk about the national championship game, but we'll be moving on to the post-college football season after this national championship game. And, thanks for everything and, play the music, Jason.